A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 people, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language, Hakeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position of overseer.'" A reading from the letter of James. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with the gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture."
Grace and peace of our brother and teacher and Lord Jesus, the one who God has raised, be with us not just this day, but all of our days. Watch out for those parentheses. In those days, Peter stood up. The writer of the book of Acts tells us in one of the passages that Natty shared for us. In those days, Peter stood up. In those days, the days, according to the writer of the book of Acts, not long after Jesus' death. Days when Jesus' closest followers have regathered themselves. They've once again found the strength and the courage to carry on his mission. In those days, Peter stood up. He stood up because he was the leader. He had become the leader of that early Christian community in Jerusalem. He was the moderator of the congregation, the Bob John of his day. He stands up because there has been a congregational meeting called. A meeting with only one item on the agenda. The need to elect a replacement for Judas. Judas, who the writer of Acts has Peter say, was one of us, but became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. Fair enough. But then come the parentheses. Watch out for the parentheses. For two reasons. One, common to almost all of the times when you see parentheses in the Bible, it indicates a shift. A shift in the perspective of time and place. The shift here is the writer going from describing events not long after Jesus' death in Jerusalem to his own time and place. A time a good 60 plus years after what he's describing. And in a place somewhere in the Greek-speaking part of the Roman Empire where Paul had founded a number of early Christian communities. But of course, that's not the real reason we need to watch out for the parentheses. The real reason is what's between them. Because what's between them is an ugly, disgusting description on the part of the writer of the book of Acts of the death that Judas is claimed to have experienced. Experienced because of his betrayal of Jesus. Experienced as payback for the wrong he has done. There's a couple problems with that description. The first, scholars will tell you they really have no idea exactly what did happen to Judas, how exactly he did die. Any specifics about his death are only mentioned once in the Gospels. Matthew says he hanged himself after he betrayed Jesus. We really don't know how Judas died. The bigger problem is that description. That ugly, violent description of a death that may very well likely have not taken place the way the writer describes it. Yet the writer describes it for us and does it with what is almost a sense of gratuitousness, almost a sense of satisfaction that that's what happened to Judas. We're not going to read that part of the passage again. There's no need to. But we're not going to ignore it either. Because as we've said a number of times here, it is often in the ugliest parts of the Bible that we find the most significant spiritual substance. In this case, the matter of a spiritual regression. A spiritual regression from gentleness to harshness. A spiritual regression that I believe it is not a stretch to say we are experiencing in our time and place. Maybe it's just me. I doubt it. Maybe a number of you feel the same way, but it sure seems to me like we have regressed into a culture, a society of harshness. Harshness. Abrasiveness, corrosiveness, pitilessness, mercilessness. It seems to me that we have regressed to a culture where far too many of our political leaders and our media figures and our spokespeople for every imaginable cause are in some imaginary or maybe not imaginary contest to see who can be the harshest. The harshest in terms of the way that they speak about and treat those who they disagree with, those they oppose on some issue, those who they believe have harmed them. And while, yes, a certain amount of that is what we would call political theater, meant to dramatize the message, not all of it is. Not by a long shot. And while it could also reasonably be argued that the vast majority of that harshness emanates from a minority, from the fringes, the political and social and cultural religious fringes of our society, A, I'm not sure that's true. But B, even if it is, just like any garment, just like any piece of fabric that begins to fray at its edges, if we do not reverse that regression, if we do not take a stand against that type of harshness and do better, eventually our fabric, the fabric of our culture, the fabric of our society, will unravel and its threads disintegrate. Our political fabric, our social fabric, but most of all, our spiritual fabric. The spiritual fabric that the writer of the letter of James describes for us and points out a number of the threads that make it up. The letter of James is considered to be the primary Christian moral and ethics manual in the New Testament. It is meant to talk to us about the moral and ethical and spiritual fabric that we are meant to be a part of, that God calls us to be a part of, that Jesus calls us to be a part of. And in this passage, the other passage that Natty also read for us, James describes a number of the threads that make up that fabric. He says, basically, avoid bitter envy and selfish ambition. Bitter envy. Bitter, a word synonymous with harsh. Avoid those things. At the same time, there are a number of things that we should do, that we should be. Be peaceable, be willing to yield, be merciful, avoid partiality and hypocrisy. And one other thing. A thread that James apparently feels is so important, he mentions it twice in just this small section of that letter. Gentleness. Gentleness. Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness. And among that list of being peaceable and willing to yield and merciful, he says, be gentle. Gentleness? Come on. Not exactly the first thing I think of when I think of our culture, our society. I'm guessing it might not be one of the first things you think of either. And it is also, according to the longtime minister and author and professor and current president of Princeton Theological Seminary, Craig Barnes, gentleness is also, in his opinion, not particularly high on most people's list of important spiritual virtues. But Barnes believes the reason for that is we don't understand it. That we misunderstand what gentleness is from a Christian spiritual perspective. Specifically, we confuse it with weakness, with avoidance, with giving in when it comes to our disagreements, our opposition to each other on certain issues, our conflicts, our struggles. We confuse gentleness with weakness. But from a Christian spiritual perspective, Barnes says they are not remotely the same. Gentleness from a Christian spiritual perspective is not avoidance. It is not to ignore, dismiss, to walk away from our disagreements, our conflicts, from those situations when we believe that someone has harmed us. It is to face them directly. But to do it in a way that honors the sacredness of our relationships. Barnes says that gentleness is rooted in strength, the strength that comes from facing our struggles, but doing it again while honoring the sacredness of our relationships. Our relationships as human beings created in the image and likeness of God. Our relationships as God calls us to honor them. Our relationships as Jesus calls us to honor them. Our relationships even, or maybe especially, with those we disagree with, those who oppose us on a particular issue, those we believe have harmed us. The people, Barnes says, Jesus was dying to love. The people Jesus died loving, despite any harm they had caused him. People like Judas. Jesus was gentle with Judas in that Christian spiritual understanding of the term. Jesus didn't ignore the wrong that Judas was doing to him, had done to him, doesn't dismiss it, doesn't walk away from it. He deals with it directly, but again, in a way that honors the sacredness of his relationship with Judas. We're given two things in the Gospels in terms of Jesus' verbal response to Judas' betrayal. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Friend, do what you have to do. Friend." And in Luke's gospel, when Judas kisses Jesus as a way of indicating to the soldiers with him who it was they needed to arrest, because they didn't necessarily know who Jesus was, and it was dark out, when Judas kisses Jesus, Jesus simply says, "Is it with a kiss that you betray me?" Jesus faces that difference, that difficulty, that struggle directly, but refuses to be abrasive, corrosive, pitiless, merciless, refuses to turn away from the sacredness of the relationship that he has with Judas. And in the things he says to Judas, he challenges Judas to do the same. Doesn't condemn Judas, he appeals to Judas. To Judas's humanity, to the call that Judas has been given to honor relationships. He does it in a way that appeals to the nature of Judas's better angels. Jesus was gentle in that way with Judas. The same way on this Mother's Day that moms are gentle when they are at their best. The same way on this festival of the Christian home that a home is when it is at its best, whether it's Christian or not, any and every home. And the same way that the Reverend Dr. John Whiteman was. I didn't know John in that sense. I was with him on two or three occasions. He was gracious enough to invite me to lunch within the first couple years that I was here, and then we got together again a couple years after that. But I've learned a lot about him. If you haven't had the chance to check out the display in Patton Auditorium that Heidi Hyland put together, I encourage you to do so. Because there's a lot of great stuff in there. There is an awful lot in there about John Whiteman that is to be admired and respected and honored. But there is one particular thing that just grabbed me and would not let me go. It was in one of the articles in the display case, written about John's ministry, particularly here. It talked about his countless efforts on behalf of the least powerful in our society, on behalf of a number of justice-related causes, his efforts on behalf of people who are left behind or treated as less than equal based on their gender or their sexual orientation or their race or their religious affiliation. And then it said this: he went gently into those battles. Isn't that a great line? He went gently into those battles. John Whiteman didn't turn his back on those disagreements, on those situations where he was in opposition to others when it came to a particular issue, in those situations where he felt other people were doing harm to some of God's people. And maybe they felt he was doing some harm to them. I don't know. But he refused to turn his back on them, to not address them. But he did it in a way that honored the sacredness of the relationship, of his relationship with those people, people he disagreed with and was in opposition to and who he felt were causing harm to the fabric of our society, of our culture. He went gently into those battles. Gently, like Jesus did. No parentheses needed. Amen.